Eternal life should be the spiritual goal for us all, but too many people have been misled by teachers declaring a message contrary to the Bible. Today, you're going to learn vital salvation truths from Brother Dan Corner of evangelicaloutreach.org.
Unfortunately, there is much confusion, misinformation, distortions, and even sophistry which centers around the vitally important subject of eternal life. Obviously, that is not good. We all need to have solid answers to especially three related questions about eternal life. What is eternal life? How do we get eternal life? And once we have eternal life, can we ever lose the possession of it? The reason various religions have very diverse and destructive views about eternal life is because of two basic reasons. Number one, too many people are drawing their beliefs from somewhere other than the Bible alone. And number two, they are somehow misusing Bible references for their faulty beliefs. Also, some scriptures on eternal life are seldom mentioned while others are overused and misinterpreted. In other words, a partial truth is too often presented as the whole truth. So there are very serious and real present-day problems existing which are misleading multitudes of sincere and religious people who wisely want eternal life. Today's message will help with these issues. I want to begin with an actual Bible message on eternal life. Here it is. This is what the Bible actually teaches about eternal life. Eternal life is spiritual life, which is possessed here and now by all those who have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is instantly received and possessed at the point of sincere and true repentance. But after getting born again, to finally reap eternal life, one must sow to please the Spirit without becoming weary in doing good and giving up, according to true grace teaching. Furthermore, as strange as it might sound, the Lord Jesus himself is eternal life in the flesh. Scripture can be provided and verified for every aspect of that statement. The bottom line problem with false doctrine is the false teachers. And there are various types of false teachers from different backgrounds standing in the way of sincere people trying to reach God. Let's look at the different ones, one after another. Let's look at Calvinism, first of all. Calvinism and their view of election is most disturbing and even demonic. Now listen to this. This is a quote from the Westminster Confession. Quote, "By the decree of God for the manifestation of his glory, some men and angels are predestined unto everlasting life, and others foreordained to everlasting death." Unquote. So the Calvinists want us to believe that some people are elected to salvation and others are not, and there's nothing that anyone can do. Either way, you cannot become unelected, and if you're non-elect, you could never become elect. Imagine that. That flies square in the face of what the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." According to the Bible, all people can have salvation and not perish eternally. That is God's will. Everyone can repent and not perish according to the Bible. Jesus also taught in John chapter 12, verse 32, "But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." So Jesus draws all people to himself, thereby implying it is God's will for them to be saved, or Jesus wouldn't be drawing everyone to himself. Easy believism and once saved, always saved. Let's move over to those issues. One of the main verses misapplied is Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So notice the word eternal life. It's certainly found in that passage, but it's found with the term gift. And a gift, according to these people, have been misunderstood and taught in such a way that there is no cost to getting that gift. No price you have to pay to have Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says. Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." So we have to do something to have Jesus. We have to crucify the sinful nature with its passions and desires. We must repent. Luke chapter 14 verse 33 tells us something very similar and straight to the point. Jesus said, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple." So Jesus said we have to give up everything to become his disciple. Furthermore, in Luke 9:23, he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Again, showing that the gift of eternal life has a price attached to it. Matthew chapter 10, 37 and 38. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." A common misunderstanding about eternal life is its possession. Eternal life is eternal, but the possession is not necessarily eternal. You must continue in the faith with Jesus to continue to have eternal life. That, unfortunately, does not always happen. That's why Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, "Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." The Apostle John wrote, "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father." And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. "I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." That's 1 John chapter 2, 24 through 26. Remember, the possession of an eternal thing can be temporary. You must endure to the end to be saved, according to Jesus, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. That refers to an actual entrance into God's kingdom. What about the Jehovah's Witnesses? Sooner or later, most of us will certainly get a knock on our door from these people. Are they right about eternal life? The answer is absolutely not. To a Jehovah's Witness, eternal life is taking in knowledge as taught by the Watchtower Society as to what knowledge is. Their chief verse for that topic is John chapter 17, verse 3. It says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." In their denominational version of the Bible called the New World Translation, it says knowledge there. So here I have a question for all Jehovah's Witnesses who may be listening. How much knowledge did the Philippian jailer have to take in to get eternal life? In Acts chapter 16, 30 and 31, Paul and Silas simply pointed that Philippian jailer to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage reads, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." That jailer was a rank pagan with no clue about the things of God. They told him in a few words what he needed to know. When he from his heart believed, he was instantly saved. Similarly, the repentant thief who went to paradise after his death didn't have much knowledge either. It says in Luke chapter 23, 42 and 43, the repentant thief said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." We have to go to Jesus to get eternal life. It says in John chapter 5, 39 and 40, this is perfectly designed for the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now listen to this. "You diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures which testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." To have eternal life, you have to go to Jesus, but because the Watchtower Society has taught the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't do that. So there are all kinds of problems. There's problems for the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's problems for those that are Mormons. Now, this is what the Mormons believe. The Mormons, or the Latter-day Saints, is a very rich religion. They call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this is their weird belief on eternal life. Now, listen to this. This comes from their Mormon apostle, Bruce R. McConkie. This is what he said, quote, "Here then is eternal life. To know the only wise and true God, and you have to learn to be gods yourself, to be kings and priests to God, the same as all gods have done before you." Unquote. Now folks, if you know just a little about the Bible, you know how far from the message of the Bible that is. It's important to know that Mormons depart from the Bible alone, and they go to other sources for their beliefs about eternal life, God, the Christian life, etc. Mormons believe God was once a man and man can become God. They also believe in God the Mother, but that is not readily acknowledged, especially to possible converts. That's their hidden doctrine. The truth about eternal life has nothing to do with becoming a God herself, which will never happen anyhow. In Revelation 21, verse 7, the Bible says this, "He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." That says that we will forever be God's son and never a God ourself if we overcome and get in his paradise kingdom. So what about all those that believe in reincarnation and eternal life? Because that term, eternal life, is often connected with reincarnation. Some people say, as far as statistics are concerned, there is as many as 38% of the world's population that believes in reincarnation. Imagine that. It is a central belief in Hinduism as well as Buddhism. Notice what eternal life is and how it's connected here to reincarnation in this quote. Quote, humans are essentially spirit beings that possess eternal life and reincarnate many times between the real world and this world. Unquote. Now that's what they want us to believe about reincarnation. Nothing like that is found in the Bible. The Bible absolutely does not teach reincarnation. Instead of reincarnation, it teaches a resurrection for both the righteous and the unrighteous. Let's move on. What about Catholicism? Catholicism comprises 16% of the total world's population, but it is also wrong about eternal life. This is very, very sad and destructive to many sincere and devout people who just implicitly trust their leaders and know very, very little about the Bible. Here's a quote from one of their theologians. This is the Catholic theologian and professor known as Dr. Ludwig Ott. Quote, eternal life is the reward for the good deeds performed in this world. Unquote. Notice no mention at all of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how they elevate good deeds and eternal life. But that's not all. You also have to understand what they believe about eternal life with their Eucharist. The Eucharist, according to a Catholic, is a consecrated communion wafer. It is a unique Catholic distinctive, just like their rosary. But with the Eucharist, Catholics genuflect before and believe that communion wafer should be worshipped as God. They also think they are receiving Jesus and eternal life when they swallow the communion wafer. They have been told it is the literal body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. To them, it is food for eternal life. Listen to this Catholic priest, Jason Worthley, connect their version of the Eucharist to eternal life itself. Listen to this.
But the bread of life gives life itself. It doesn't just sustain life, it gives life. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And this life is the life of God, eternal life. It is perfect because it is the life of the Most Holy Trinity, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus gives in the Eucharist to the people.
Folks, that is what 1.3 billion Catholics have been taught about eternal life. Imagine that. That is very, very sad. So I have a question for Catholics. Since you have been taught that eternal life is received through swallowing the consecrated communion wafer, what happens to all people who can't swallow food because of some physical issue? Obviously, there is something very strange and very wrong with this doctrine. Again, the Eucharist is a Catholic term and it refers to the consecrated communion wafer in Roman Catholicism. Here is a different Catholic priest named John Howell. Listen to what he said.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. We as Catholics believe that Jesus is speaking literally there, that we must literally eat and consume the body and blood of our Lord, that Jesus commanded us to do that. And we do that in the Eucharist.
Here again is Catholic priest Jason Worthley about the Eucharist.
If I work for that which endures, then I will follow God. I will be devoted to the Eucharist, because in the Eucharist I have the living presence of God's love. It is the perpetual memorial of His sacrifice on the cross. His sacrifice on Calvary is made present to us in the Eucharist, at Mass, and in adoration.
Like the mythical, fabricated, and illusionary version of Mary projected by Catholicism to the people, the Eucharist teaching and its importance is also central and dangerously misleading. Why? Because it is connected with eternal life, as you just heard from the misuse of John 6:53 and 54. Also, please know that the Catholic Council of Trent has 11 anathemas associated with their Eucharist, thereby implying that you must agree with their doctrine exactly on the Eucharist or you will be anathematized. And that includes worshiping their consecrated communion wafer as God. Imagine that. Here's one of those anathemas issued by the Catholic Council of Trent, and it refers to the worship of the communion wafer. Quote, if anyone says that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is not to be adored in the holy sacrament of the Eucharist with the worship of latria, including the external worship, and that the sacrament therefore is not to be honored with extraordinary festive celebrations, nor solemnly carried from place to place in processions according to the praiseworthy universal rite and custom of the Holy Church, or that the sacrament is not to be publicly exposed for the people's adoration, and that those who adore it are idolaters, let them be anathema, unquote. So Catholic tradition has led to a false view of how we get eternal life and even into idolatry via the worship of the Eucharist. Obviously, this is extremely serious. Catholics desperately need the real truth of the Bible about eternal life.
You must compare Scripture with Scripture to assure that your understanding of the Bible is the correct one, especially about eternal life and salvation. Do it yourself. Do not just trust another to do it for you, regardless of who it is. Now, let's return to Brother Dan.
The passage John 6:53 and 54 has stumbled a lot of very sincere people because the words eat and drink have been taken to mean something totally different from what was previously shown in the context of John chapter 6. It is terribly unfortunate that so many Catholics, 1.3 billion, have been wrongly taught that they do that by literally receiving Jesus into their mouth to swallow him into their stomachs. The truth is, that Catholic practice of swallowing the Eucharist has absolutely nothing to do with partaking the real bread of life the way Jesus said to do it in John chapter 6. To have eternal life, we must have a faith in the Lord Jesus that will follow and obey God and live holy, even under adverse circumstances. Listen to what Jesus said in John 6:35 about the bread of life. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." So eating and drinking the bread of life has nothing to do with physically eating and drinking, according to Jesus. We eat the bread of life by coming to Jesus and drink the bread of life by a continuous faith in Jesus. It has nothing to do with a communion wafer, much less swallowing it into our stomach. In the same chapter, just a few verses away, John 6:47, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life." And remember, everlasting life is a synonym. It means exactly the same as eternal life. If the Catholic Church had the real actual body of Jesus in their communion wafer to be swallowed to get eternal life, then everyone should be a Catholic. On the other hand, if that point is fraudulent on the Eucharist and transubstantiation alone, all Catholics should immediately depart from such a false gospel and idolatrous practice and belief. There is not a real change in substance of the communion wafer in Catholicism. The only New Testament transubstantiation is in John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And this is what we read in those verses. "And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, 'Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now.'" So note, the water changed in the wine tasted like wine, the end result, unlike Catholicism. If Catholicism really had the genuine, if there really was a transubstantiation, then the communion wafer would actually taste like real human flesh and blood, which it obviously doesn't. They have a counterfeit and a false hope of receiving eternal life. Eternal life, according to the Bible, has absolutely nothing to do with the communion wafer. Notice also that in John chapter 6, 53 and 54, that is seven chapters prior to the Last Supper. Here is something very important to recognize when reading through the Bible. Zacchaeus got saved without receiving communion. In Luke chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Catholics, unfortunately, also try to connect Luke 22:19 to their Eucharist to somehow receive eternal life. That verse says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it. He gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now, folks, remember the real purpose of communion. It is to remember Jesus. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It does not say to get life, that is eternal life, as the Catholic priests want us to believe. Do not believe the Catholic myth about the Eucharist and that Catholic priests have the power to change the communion wafer into the Eucharist. That is anti-Bible. All Catholics need to know the Eucharist is not the bread of life, which we get by swallowing it into our stomach. Know what Jesus said about eternal life. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks at the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I shall raise him up at the last day. John 6 verse 40. So well over 50% of the world's population is believing wrongly about what eternal life is, how to get it, and can the possession of it be lost after initially possessed. Unfortunately, the devil has done a very, very good job deceiving people. All kinds of religious and sincere people have been fatally deceived. That includes Calvinists, once saved, always saved proponents, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Hindus, Buddhists, and Catholics. We can also add to that extensive list all Muslims who hope to go to paradise without a 100% submissive faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who died on the cross and rose again from the grave. Folks, religious deception abounds. To know the truth of God about eternal life, you must consult the Bible and believe its message to know the real and weed out the counterfeits. Also, many sincere believers correctly know we are saved by grace, but their faulty understanding of grace disallows for reaping eternal life as stated in this passage. That's Galatians chapter 6, 8 and 9. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Note, to reap eternal life, you must not give up, according to the Apostle Paul. Give up doing what? According to the context, it says give up sowing to please the Spirit. That is basic and key truth about eternal life, but it's also hated and rejected and cast aside as legalism, cult, and a work salvation by false teachers. This is very sad, but it's real. And that is what many popular teachers of our day is saying. Question. Is eternal life just given to those under grace with no bearing on how we live or so? Not according to Galatians 6:8-9. To the shocking horror of many church people, eternal life is harvested only after one sows to please the Holy Spirit. So under grace, we reap or we harvest what we spiritually sow according to the Apostle Paul. If you could reap eternal life by sowing to please the flesh, you would be mocking God. But he won't be mocked. It's not going to happen. You will reap instead of eternal life, fiery torment. That means you must live holy. According to the Bible, eternal life is much more than an easy gift of God to freely be received in a present tense possession. Eternal life is also a hope, Titus 3:7. Yet to be raped, Galatians 6:8-9. In the age to come, Mark chapter 10 verse 30. For only the ones who persist in doing good, Romans 2:7, and don't grow weary and give up sowing to please the Spirit, Galatians 6:9. Eternal life is also a promise for the Christians who hold on to the gospel truth they heard from the beginning to remain in Christ and in the Father, 1 John chapter 2, 24 through 26. Jesus said in Matthew 25:46, going to eternal life is only for the righteous, and that opens up a brand new subject. Who are the righteous, and how do we get that identity to get eternal life? 1 John 3:7 says, the Apostle John taught, dear children, do not let anyone deceive you. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. So to be righteous, you gotta do what is right. If you're not doing what is right, if you're doing what is sinful, you're of the devil, according to 1 John 3:8. And then in 1 John chapter 2, 3, and 4, we know we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Evangelical Outreach has a detailed 801-page book on the subject of the believer's security entitled The Believer's Conditional Security. This book can be yours for only $19.50 with free postage for one softback book in the USA. Send your check or money order into Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Additional free related materials will be sent with your order.
Here's another passage about eternal life that is very similar to Galatians 6, 8, and 9. Paul also taught this, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. The culminating verse to all this perhaps could be Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from your sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Now notice, it does not say anything about rewards. This is about eternal life. Listen again, I'm going to read it again. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. Folks, people who are saved have been set free from their sin addictions and have become slaves to God. That means a radical behavioral change has resulted. Does that describe you? If not, why should you believe that you have eternal life now? Or that you'll ever reap eternal life after death as the righteous will? The truth is, many have been deceived about eternal life by popular false teachers. They have presented a partial understanding of eternal life, which can't or won't allow for many of these verses I just shared. Please remember these truths about salvation. Those truths did not originate with some false teacher. They are the very words of God. They are fact and forever settled. If your current understanding of salvation and eternal life cannot be reconciled with those verses, such as Galatians 6, 8, 9, and Romans 2, 7, etc., you have been deceived and you therefore must change your understanding about eternal life for your own soul's sake. Remember what Peter said, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you."
But the bread of life gives life itself. It doesn't just sustain life, it gives life. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And this life is the life of God, eternal life. It is perfect because it is the life of the Most Holy Trinity, the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what Jesus gives in the Eucharist to the people.
False prophets and false teachers can be very popular, and they are. They're on TV, on the radio, in seminaries, they are in bookstores, they are all over everywhere. They're not going to share these verses that you heard. They're not going to speak the truth and love like you heard here to the Catholics and the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and others. Remember, folks, eternal life is spiritual life. It's possessed here and now by all those who have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is instantly possessed at the point of repentance, but after getting born again to finally reap eternal life, one will have to sow to please the Spirit without becoming weary in doing good and giving up. In other words, you must continue in the faith to reap eternal life in the end. Eternal life is much more than the gift of God and a present tense possession. Eternal life is also a hope yet to be reaped in the age to come, only for the ones who persist in doing good and don't grow weary and give up sowing to please the Spirit. Eternal life is a promise for all Christians who hold to the gospel truth they heard from the beginning to remain faithful to Christ and the Father. You must compare scripture with scripture to assure that you have not been misled and that you correctly understand what the Bible says about eternal life and salvation. Do it yourself. Do not just trust another to do it for you, regardless who you are. It's up to you, folks. You must do it the Bible way.
These types of teachings are very rare in our day. If you are stirred and enlightened by our teachings, help us get them out to more people. For the sake of souls, please prayerfully consider sending in your donations to our Christian ministry. By doing so, you'll be helping others and sharing in our good fruit. The address is Evangelical Outreach, Post Office Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Thank you, and God bless you.